Good morning. I was going to give something different today to avoid talking about this parable, which is quite dour and violent. But then I decided, no, I better do it, because lately I've been focusing a lot on the context of each of our readings of the Gospels, because very often our choice, the way these Gospel readings have been printed and given to us, they ignore the context, which can lead to misinterpretations, as I've shown you a few times already. And there's a danger of that with today's parable as well. But I'd like to begin with Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah. In chapter 46 of Isaiah, God speaks to his people and says this: "Listen to me, you descendants of Jacob, all the remnant of the people of Israel, you whom I have upheld since your birth and have carried you since you were born. I have made you, and I will carry you. I will sustain you, and I will rescue you. Some pour out gold from their bags and weigh out silver on the scales. They hire a goldsmith to make it into a god, and they bow down and worship it. They lift it to their shoulders and carry it. They set it up in its place, and there it stands." You see what God is doing here? He's comparing himself, who has carried the people of Israel all this time, to the worshipers of idols who carry their idols. That's the difference. God carries his people, but the worshipers of idols carry their idols, because their idols cannot carry them. But the same God who carries his people also passes judgment on his people. It is a living, unfolding relationship, is the best way that I can summarize the Old Testament. It was never smooth, because no relationship is ever smooth. It was never smooth, and it is never smooth. So consider chapter 5 from the book of Isaiah. God again speaking. "I will speak for the one I love, a song about the vineyard. My loved one had a vineyard on a fertile hillside. He dug it up and cleared it of stones and planted it with the choicest vines. He built a watchtower in it and cut out a wine press as well. Then he looked for a crop of good grapes, but it yielded only bad fruit. What more could have been done for my vineyard than I have done for it? When I looked for good grapes, why did it yield only bad? Now I will tell you what I am going to do to my vineyard. I will take away its hedge, and it will be destroyed. I will break down its wall, and it will be trampled. I will make it a wasteland, neither pruned nor cultivated, and briars and thorns will grow there. I will command the clouds not to rain on it. The vineyard of the Lord Almighty is the nation of Israel, and the people of Judah, and the vines he delighted in it. And he looked for justice, but saw bloodshed, for righteousness, but heard cries of distress." This is what we see throughout the Hebrew Bible. God's constant engagement with his people. Sometimes he's smashing them, judging them. Other times he's exalting them, elevating them, carrying them, loving them, nurturing them. The relationship of Israel with God was never smooth. It had its ups and its downs. And the parable, and you can hear the similarities to chapter 5 of Isaiah and the vineyard. The parable that Jesus spoke in today's gospel reading could have been spoken by Isaiah. It's God speaking with his own people, literally. It's Jesus, it's God speaking with his own people. But the parable, along with other passages of the Gospels, has been misused throughout the Christian era and has been interpreted as a rejection of the Jews and the replacement of Israel by the Christian church. Well, if the Christian church has replaced Israel, I can tell you the harsh words that God spoke in the Hebrew Bible are very much appropriate for us as well. So let's not get too high on our high horse. But this misreading has led to centuries of antisemitism, persecutions, and the Holocaust. Isaiah and Jesus had the same message. God looks for fruit from his vineyard, whether that vineyard is Israel or the Christian church. In chapter 15 of the Gospel of John, Jesus himself spoke of himself as the vine, and we are the branches that are nurtured by him, that produce fruit. It is always about fruit. Throughout the Bible, old and new, it is always about fruit. And as it was in ancient Israel, it is in the church. Sometimes I wonder why Matthew included so many attacks on the Jews in his gospel. And it occurred to me, is it perhaps because he was a tax collector before he followed Jesus, which made him one of the most hated people in Jewish society? The Jews hated the tax collectors because they collected taxes for a foreign power, for the Roman Empire, who were occupying them. Now, he was a tax collector before he joined Jesus. Maybe that's why he is so down on the Jews in his gospel. But did you also notice the violent response of the listeners? When Jesus asked, what will this owner of the vineyard do to those servants who had killed his son? And the listeners, and it wasn't just the apostles, because Jesus is talking to many people here throughout this chapter. His listeners responded, or some of his listeners responded, he will put those wretches to a miserable death. A violent response, just as the parable itself was violent. But Jesus ignores their answer, does not acknowledge it, does not agree with it. He simply ignores it. And instead, he goes on to quote Psalm 118 about the stone which the builders rejected has become the head of the cornerstone. Our reading today in the gospel ended there, but Jesus did not end there. He went on. And he said, therefore I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people producing the fruits of it. When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard this parable, they perceived that he was speaking about them. But when they tried to arrest him, they feared the multitudes because they held him to be a prophet. Aha! So Jesus is not really talking about the Jews, about the Jewish people, about Israel. He's talking about the Pharisees and the priests, the defenders of the status quo. And these Pharisees and priests were even afraid of the people because the people were following Jesus. So Jesus concluded his parable with a warning. And it is extremely sad that this conclusion is not included in our reading, which makes me suspicious of motivations and motives. But Jesus concluded his parable with a warning clearly aimed at the priests and the Pharisees. So before we get too puffed up that God rejected the Jewish people and chose the church. Let's look a bit more at the context of this parable. What came before this parable in this chapter 21 of Matthew's Gospel? At the beginning of chapter 21, Jesus goes to the temple. The famous scene where he drives out the money changers and the sellers. Then, on the way back from the temple, he cursed a fig tree. Why? Because it had no fruit. And then immediately after that, he told the parable of two sons and the father who asked them to do something, and the first one said, I will do it, and ended up not doing it. And the second son who said, no, I'm not going to do it, but then he changed his mind and went and did it. And when he concluded that parable of the two sons, Jesus then told his listeners, and he said to them, the tax collectors like Matthew, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you. The tax collectors, the sinners, the people who one does not want to associate with, the people to whom one pays money for certain acts, they are the ones who are entering the kingdom ahead of you. He's pointing again. He's talking again about the priests and the Pharisees. And today's parable followed immediately that statement about tax collectors and prostitutes. You see, God was not looking for a new nation or a new race of people to replace the Jews. God looked for fruitful living, whether from the Jews or from us. The criterion is always the same, dear friends. The challenge is always the same. Are we producing fruits of righteousness and of faith? Are we doing the will of the Lord, or are we doing our will? Is the church his vineyard, planted in the midst of the world for the blessing of all? Or is it our little spiritual escape from the world? Is it a vineyard that is full of life, or is it a vineyard that is dying because of neglect and lack of vision? I think these are the challenges of today's parable. And this is what happens when you read the Gospels with an open mind, ready to be challenged, ready to be questioned, and not just, well, just another parable that Jesus spoke. I don't like this one. It's got kind of a violent ending there and too much killing in it. And I don't like some of the other things here that Jesus said. But it's a parable. It really doesn't have anything to do with me. That's not an acceptable answer. That's not an acceptable way to read the parables. So I don't care for the violence. I don't care for the dourness. I don't care for the negativity. That's not really what the parable is all about. The parable is about us and challenging us. If we are the vineyard, are we producing fruit? That is the question with which Jesus confronts us today.